The Morning Brew Podcast with Jaffe and Razor, sponsored by Berkshire Bank Home Lending, where you borrow matters. There were 13 wins in a row at home as your Boston Bruins win over the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-1 on Tuesday night at TD Garden as we welcome you into another Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, presented by Berkshire Bank. This show is also made possible by the wonderful people at Sparks Hockey and the Sharpener there, Apex Entertainment. And we welcome in a new sponsor to the show, Rodenheiser. Rodenheiser Home Services. We will talk about all of those a little bit later. But for now, Razor, Ringside Razor. Ringside Razor, as we welcome you. And that's what we'll call you. And Sophia had a question for you on air.
Oh.
She wanted to know if you had different angles. Did you get different takes from the ringside? And I said, I don't know. I think you do, but I don't know. So I'll ask you that on behalf of Sniffles. Sniffle Sophia tonight. Holy shit, everybody's sick. It's all right. Razor, a fun game at TD Garden on Tuesday, albeit not as playoff-like, would you agree, as the Carolina game from the other day? But that doesn't mean it wasn't a very good game. It just had a little different vibe. I thought both teams were actually very good in this game and very responsible. That was the word I used on air.
Yeah, discipline. They were... and that was what was encouraging about that win. Very businesslike for the Bruins. And they recognized that Tampa was coming into a back-to-back, that they were just going to play disciplined. They have one of the best goalies in the world, and they just lock it down. And that's why they've won cups. And they played that way this evening, and the Bruins didn't try and chase it. They didn't try and force it. They rolled with it, and it certainly helped scoring on the first shift. When you get that first one out of the way, there's less need to press. But I thought it was as well played of a hockey game. Very few mistakes made by anybody on the ice. It was real solid all the way around. And of course, the Bruins find a way to win 13 in a row at home. Just another way that they've won tonight, and that one was playoff like on the ice. I don't think the vibe was the same in the building a Tuesday night.
Right.
It didn't have the same energy, but I think on the ice that was similar to a game three in the second round where
you're settling into playoffs.
It's completely settled in, and guys are tired, but you're focused on the details and the discipline. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, and the way that the Bruins, we thought, back checked hard, sticks in lane, sticks on the ice, were able to seal off certain plays. I mean, it was actually your point about not many mistakes was interesting. That first goal you're talking about, the Taylor Hall goal, and we're going to get right into talking about Taylor Hall in the next minute or two, but was a really kind of a, dare I say, soft play. I hate almost saying it by Victor Hedman, but not a great play as he picked the puck up along the wall and he just kind of softly threw it to the point. I think he thought that he had an outlet. I think he thought he had a teammate that was going to be on the left wing side. And therefore then Carlo got it, put it back down the wall because he didn't have a lane to the net. And then the Bruins end up recycling the puck, and then he pumps it from the right point, does Carlo, and Hall makes a great tip. But very few mistakes in this game. Wasn't one of those games where you're like, oh, man, that guy was lucky here or there. It was who's going to break first or who's going to make a play that's going to lead to something special.
It was, and that's a sign of two teams that know how to go far and know how to find ways to win in the regular season. And Tampa's been doing that for a couple years now. So much talk about how many games they've played and how much hockey they've played. Well, they've managed these regular seasons by doing what they did tonight. And against, I don't know, 26 teams in the NHL, they win that game the way they played. The other five or six, that they might get a point, but the Bruins are where they're at with their game, with the depth, and with their discipline on top of it all. There's just really no wiggle room for any team coming into the TD Garden.
Yeah, discipline, by the way, not only on the ice structurally, but also didn't take many penalties tonight. And you could even argue that the two that were called were one, okay, but the second one, like, come on. Like, the interference on Zach, I didn't think that. I mean, that there's interference that you just got to call, and then, like, come on. He didn't even really impede him. He just got – but anyways, I don't want to.
Yeah, that was more like they felt like they needed, and even for the sake of Tampa, like the guy, you know, it was a trip, but it wasn't an egregious one, and you might have gotten away with it on certain nights, but
maybe
all the way
around. I think the fact that who was it, Marchand, that got tripped by the kid, by was it Prebix? I think it was the fact that the Bruins were in their own zone, and then there was the puck could have gone back to Tampa. I think that's what probably the thought process was. But I agree with you. Nothing really egregious. We had some, we had some, I didn't even think there was, it was physical, but we didn't have a lot of, oh, that should have been called that. I just felt that maybe a few of them should have. But regardless, the Bruins' discipline in all facets. We've talked at length before on and off the air about how, especially in playoff times, about how you can have two great top lines or two, you know, line one and two, and be a really good team. But in order to be a great team, you have to have not just a great fourth line that can do things. And I want to get to that in a minute as well. But you've got to have a third line that creates mismatches. You have to. And the Bruins are rolling out a third line right now of Charlie Coyle, Taylor Hall on the left, and then it was Craig Smith. He's injured. He's out right now. But Trent Frederick comes back into the lineup. And that line was really good in this game. And that line did create mismatch and will create mismatch. And will that be the line the whole year? I don't know. But I think the pair of Coyle and Hall has got some legs to it, Razor. Taylor Hall was outstanding. And not just because he scored two goals. The goals are the result of him doing all the other shit right on the ice. I mean, really right on the ice. The back checking, the winning of wall play, the taking away, the angling. I mean, he was a transporter of the puck, but more than that, he was, I felt, a transporter of the play when he was on the ice.
Yeah, he has been for a lot of nights. There hasn't been many nights where he hasn't made a great play off of the puck, a great defensive play back with back pressure or getting in on the rush and getting in on the forecheck. He's really embraced the role, and Montgomery spoke of that after the game. And it's, and again, he's an MVP guy. So he's been the best player on his team for most of his life. And he's played against the best. What a relief it must be what an opportunity he must see when he doesn't have the best, when he doesn't play against Victor Hedman every single time he jumps over the boards. And I think he's got to be relishing that a little bit in his ability to really make a difference on this team and on a team that wins this much. I mean, he had years in Edmonton. He didn't win 19 games all season. Right. So imagine how fun this is for a guy like that to be able to win every night and contribute when he can, and when he doesn't score every night, he's still contributing in other ways. He's, like you said, Coyle Hall on your third line. Boy, oh boy, there's just no one's going to be able to match up with that, even in April, even when teams load up a little bit. It's really going to be hard to match up against this group.
Yeah, they are, and especially if whether it's Frederick or somebody else really gets going, you know. Yeah. At 5-on-5 time in 9 minutes and 4 seconds, just for statistical sake, I pulled it up quickly, Razor. They had six overall chances for 6 against, but they outscored the opponent 1-0. That was the goal. they just did their job, and they created, you know, they were able actually to take some time against one of the other top two lines of Tampa, and that was great. Interesting enough, Hall, Coyle, and David Pastrnak were together for a minute and 21 seconds, Razor, in this game. And they had a 5-1 Corsi, so overall attempts versus that's pretty darn good. And they were credited with four scoring chances, four, and none against. So they were really good. Tangent time here a little bit, Bud, but yeah. I loved, especially in the first period, Montgomery used Nosek's line to start, then Coyle's line out there. So you had the Boston fourth and third line going out the first two shifts against Tampa's number one and number two lines. And that just allowed the, I'll call it the mismatch game, but the less matchup type game going on for John Cooper in Tampa early on. And that was simple but great. And the fact that Nosek and Greer and Foligno did their job right away, and that the Coyle line did theirs, I thought helped set the tone for a good first period. You know, for a team that had been off for a couple of days, I thought the Bruins came out, and you said it. You did an who'd you do your first intermission interview with? Marchand? No,
Marchand was intermission. Hall with Hall, intermission, right? Yeah.
And you asked about, you know, being off and everything. Well, the Bruins didn't look to have any heavy legs. You know, off day legs. They seem to be sharp, and I think some of it had to do with just how Jim Montgomery created the matchup game for himself.
Couldn't agree more, and I think he feels very luxurious in the fact that he can throw those guys out there in those situations, and very comfortable, and knows that they're going to do the job against whoever they're up against, and it also. Like I watching tonight, and I might be jinxing it right now, who knows, but watching this today down low is that no one's playing high pressure minutes. There's no time where I'm feeling like, oh man, like we're just waiting for an injury right now, or oh man, like this is putting too much strain on this team. That even tonight winning 3-1 against Tampa, it feels easy in that. You can play Nosek 15 minutes. You can play Coyle 15 minutes. And all these guys are getting in, and they're all contributing, and no one's giving an inch. And to your point, you can start those two lines. So there's no pressure on the top line for a little while. Mm-hmm. They get to get into the game. Everybody else takes on a different identity early in the first period. And that's just going to pay so much dividend down the road. Because a lot of these teams that are 500 that are grinding their superstars already in this part of the season are just it's such a long year. So it just goes to the depth of this team and where they're all playing at such a high level.
Here are some numbers to accentuate the points that you're making, that we're making here. Just to give you, for instance, A.J. Greer at 850, Nick Foligno at 925. You ready for this, though? There was only 8.5 and 9.5 minutes. They combined for 9 hits. Greer with 5, Foligno with 4. Foligno had the beautiful assist on the second Hall goal. A.J. Greer had three shots in 8:51. Three shots. So competitive minutes, important minutes. Now you go to the other end. Hampus Lindholm, again, over 25 minutes. He hit 25:11. Charlie McAvoy, he hit 23:57, so 24 minutes. He had 6 block shots in the game, did Charlie McAvoy. He had 2 shots on net, a total of 7 attempts, a couple of hits. What a line. What a freaking line he had again. Took one in the face off the shield, I think mostly off the shield, and I think some may have caught his face almost flat. I don't know if you had a different view of that or not, but he didn't get cut, so it didn't hit him sideways, which is good.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I was way down at the other end, so I was expecting a pool of blood under, you know, like that. And then when you don't see that, you're like, oh, he dodged a big bullet. Because he gets in behind. He had no idea the thing was coming. It was like a flash screen for his face.
So what did we think of the pair of Lindholm and McAvoy? I'll start. I thought they were fucking, oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that word. Sorry. I thought they were freaking fantastic. I can say bad words, but I should watch it. But
it was emphasized.
It was unintentional emphasis. I thought they were fantastic as a pair together, and they relished the role, especially in the first period, going against the point line regularly. John Cooper split up his top guys in the second period to try and get them away a bit more from McAvoy and Lindholm and create a little bit more, and moved, you know, Paul with point and, you know, just move things around. But I thought those two guys were excellent. I mean, as good as you could ask them to be.
It felt like they spent no time in their zone.
Yeah.
It felt like they've and listen, it's still gonna be a work in progress a little bit in them getting out of the zone and making because they've done Lindholm's done so much on his own and McAvoy hasn't played a lot with him and how they're gonna read, but to your point, they're so good. They're just so talented, the two of them, that, and they just know hockey so well that they're able to figure it out. And they yin-yang each other in their styles. And I think that's the biggest thing as with them as a pair is, talk of Brent Burns and Carlson, right? Like those two guys out in San Jose, that comes to mind. They're the exact same player. One's a little bit taller and a little bit longer, but these guys, McAvoy and Lindholm, do things completely different. And that's why you can put them on the ice together and they're going to be very effective because their hockey sense will take over how they read off each other, but they're going to do things so much differently to get the proper effect. So it works out great. And then Clifton and Forbert really solidifies as well. Forbert, I thought he was great tonight. To not notice him once all night against a Tampa Bay team who's got one of the best forward groups in the league after a month off is an impressive task as well.
You don't mean not noticing, just for clarification, I'm going to speak for you here. At least I feel like I'm going to, because I feel like I think I know exactly what you're saying.
You do.
You noticed him in the sense of he didn't get exploited at all. Like he controlled his area. His stick was in the right spot. It was a simple game. If there was a turnover, I don't remember it. And Forbert, after missing, you know, what was it, 27, 28 days, whatever it ended up being, plays 19-15, plays 205 shorthanded, more than any Bruin player, just not defender, any Bruin player. He had two hits in the game. He had one block. And welcome back, Derek Forbert, when I say he's a dry guy, it's not that he doesn't have a great personality. He just has that dry kind of very good sense of humor, in fact. Awesome sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's just back in there doing his job. That's what it is. So it's not that he didn't play well when Razor says you didn't notice him. He did his job well, so you just don't – he doesn't stand out per se. But he killed a bunch of plays, did a lot of great stuff. Happy to obviously have him back. And, you know, we're going to see on Saturday, at least we expect to see, what you could argue is the top defensive pair in the National Hockey League in Cale Makar and Devon Taves, two high-end defensemen. One is Makar literally game-changing, changing the way the position is played type of player, generational. And then Devon Taves just fits beautifully with him. He's a smart defenseman. I got to tell you something. This is not black and gold color glasses. Not. But I think you give Lindholm and McAvoy some time together, I think they rival that top pair. You know, the Lindgren and Fox pair is really nice with the Rangers. Pelech and Pulock with the Islanders could be considered something pretty good. But I got to tell you something, man. Lindholm and McAvoy. I mean, look, Lindholm and Grizzlick statistically were in the top, you know, pair for a long time. But Lindholm and McAvoy, holy smokes.
Oh, what to be able to roll those guys over when you need a big spot. And I think that's what we talk about the most, like going forward. If you can play them together, but not necessarily always put them in to be able in the crunch time to be able to throw those guys over the boards, it's like holy smokes, it's so fortunate to have those guys. And yeah, I mean, Makar is Makar. I mean, you can put him with me, and he's that's going to be a good pairing. But to your point, to have both of those guys and how they work off each other, they have to be in the top two or three. They have to be.
Oh, my God. No, I'm telling you, if they end up playing together regularly, which I don't know if Jim Montgomery and John Gruden, who runs the defensive pairs, I don't know if they'll game plan it regularly. Do they game plan it for Colorado to say, we're at home and we're going to see that top line and we're putting these two big boys out there against that top line regularly? Sure, shit, I could see that happening all the time.
For sure.
But otherwise, well, wait, they've got this line and this line. Well, we're going to split them up a bit. They're going to do that, and I could see that. Got a little bit to talk about with the Bruins with regard to their D crew as well, now, though, Razors. They waive Anton Strahlman to make room for Derek Forbert, salary-wise, to come back in the lineup. Will he go to Providence? Rhetorically asking. I don't know. Is this what he wants, really wants? Is there something else going on that could then open up a spot for him? But if he does go to Providence, or let's just say there's a mutual agreement to terminate if he decides not to, and he goes back to Arizona, where his family is, where his four kids are, and he's a phenomenal guy. He is. I got to tell you something, man. If he's like, look, I don't want to go play in the American League. I would rather go back home and hang it up and be with my family. Couldn't blame him one iota. But if that happens, Razor, now the Bruins are without some security, as they've got Riley in the minors. They've got Strahlman, who, again, I'm playing the hypothetical game here. If that happens, doesn't. Now you're down to, you know, you're down to Zboril, who has been inconsistent maybe at best. Is that a fair way to describe it, right, in his regular season?
Yeah, at best, yep.
So, you know, and if you're hamstrung by salary, that means you're not bringing up Riley. So now do the Bruins find themselves in a conundrum? We don't need to get there yet because we don't know what's going to happen with Strahlman. Maybe he does report. Maybe another move is made. I don't know. But they could find themselves in a little bit of a quandary here.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen when and I think we all knew that it was going to happen. You do the math. You could do the math on a napkin, let alone whatever these salary caps are doing with their math. That when everyone's in the lineup, when everyone's healthy, that there's too many dollars on the books. And you look at with Craig Smith, you look at with Riley, these guys are the ones looking in that you, and we've talked about it, that you need these guys. You want those kinds of guys if you're going to go on a run, the Strahlmans, but you can't have everybody. And it will be interesting to see if there's a conversation, you know, Strahls, just waited, give us 4 weeks, give us 5 weeks to sort this. Those conversations happen all the time. And if there's open lines of it, then and the player can get his head around it, then it works. If it's open-ended, then it's hard to imagine a pro that's played almost 1,000 games and his family's not here to ride a bus to Springfield every weekend. That is hard to imagine. But if you understand what the situation is and this is what's going to happen and you believe it, then sometimes it's worth it for an older guy to do that. So it will be interesting. There has to be something. Something's got to give within the organization when it comes to Riley, Smith, Strahlman, Zboril, what they're going to do with the extra guys. Because it's very, very obvious. This team has to get loaded for bear, and it has to be locked. It has to. You almost need five extra guys in the minors that are ready to roll come April 15th.
And I still think you still have to make room to make a move. You know,
that's a whole nother thing, right? Like then you're adding that too. So yeah, exactly. You've got
every dollar matters. Oh, every dollar you accrue matters.
Exactly. Every day, every cent is important at this point for them.
Let's take a minute here and recognize the people that have helped make us matter, and that's our sponsors. As we said, Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, presented by Berkshire Bank. Today's episode is also brought to you by the people at Sparks at sparkshockey.com. If you go there and check out their website, they got a lot of specials going on, holiday specials. You can also use the code MorningBrewRazor, and then you'll get $50 off. But go check it out. Sparks Hockey, the skate sharpener, is extraordinary. It is so easy to use. It is so clean. I mean, it gives you, go two passes every couple of days, and you're, if you like sharp, especially, I've always liked sharp edges skating. You go out there, and it's just, your blades are fresh. Everything is easy. And again, my 12-year-old can do it. I know your guy, you know, Mace Man. And by the way, Mace Man at the game watching Andre Vasilevsky. We're going to talk about, he could have been watching Jeremy Swayman too, the way that Swayman played in this game. But I know Mace Man likes his Sparks using that. So go check out sparkshockey.com. You will not regret investing in this machine. Apex Entertainment in Marlboro is 100,000 square feet of fun all the time, and where the weather is always good up there. It's always a great place. I mean, you've got so many different games at Apex Entertainment. You can go there. You can hang out at the bar. You can grab some good food. You can play games for a couple hours. It is a perfect place to go blow off some steam, razor, but also it's a perfect place to host a party, whether you're a young kid or an adult. Go to apexentertainment.com. Location is in Marlboro, locally in Massachusetts, but they've got other locations too. apexentertainment.com. And lastly, Razor, our good buddies over at Rodenheiser. Let's welcome them into the show. And Rodenheiser has been a sponsor of Bruins games on Nesson for a long time, and they wanted to jump on with Morning Brew with us. And let's just say they are fun people, right? Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And you know what they've got, Razor, going right now? They've got opportunities there. So ready for this? Attention HVAC technicians. If you're listening, you're an HVAC technician and you're listening, wouldn't it be nice to have more control over your schedule and more flexible hours? This is what they're offering at Rodenheiser. They're offering like a dedicated dispatch team to make your day more efficient, so you can just go focus on providing an exceptional and elite customer experience. And I have used Rodenheiser before. This is not a paid advertising. I'm telling you, their customer service was fan-freaking-tastic. At Rodenheiser Home Services, they make sure their HVAC technicians are motivated each and every day. Join their elite team of technicians by visiting careers.rodenheiser.com and apply today. One more time, careers.rodenheiser.com. You can apply today. It's a great company. We welcome in Rodenheiser to Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Fun to have them on. Fun to watch Jeremy Swayman play. It's not that he's not a confident kid other times, but at least physically, his game looked more confident to me. Am I overanalyzing my non-former goalie hockey analyst?
No, I don't think so. I think, let's see, getting in the other day and getting a win was big for him in Carolina.
Huge.
I thought we saw that carry over. I think that's a little bit of a different start coming off an injury than if he didn't get those 60 minutes and didn't get a couple saves and get the win, because I think he did look more comfortable tonight than he has. I think he was settled in. I'd say, listen, that goal by Taylor Hall in the first shift helps no one more than Jeremy Swayman. Because now you're playing ahead, and now everything's kind of falling into place. There weren't a lot of shots. What, 12 shots, I think, just past the halfway mark,
right,
from Tampa, yep, Bay. So there wasn't a lot. So he was able to work into the game, and then he made two or three big saves in the third period. That, again, that was a good team victory, but it allowed him to cruise into it. So big one for him. Now he can start working through looking at December schedule. I'm going to get a bunch of games. I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to catch up to Linus Allmark here, and he has an opportunity. So yeah, real big. That's going to be a big feel good for the next 3 or 4 days for Jeremy Swayman, for sure.
Yeah, obviously the save that stands out is the lateral right to the right,
yeah,
save on Corey Perry, the 2-on-1. Geez, I forget, yeah, who passed over to him. But it was in the third. It was a beautiful pass, the right pass, and Swayman just read it beautifully. He said to you in a post-game interview on Nesson that he just blacked out. I'm assuming he didn't exactly black out. I'm being kidding, obviously facetious, but he just powered over. I mean, he just said it's just an instinctual thing that he's doing there.
Yeah, when he says blackout, he's relying on instinct at that point, not thinking, feeling, and getting and filling space, and that's what he did. Like, you know, it's hard to score in the NHL. It's hard to make a perfect shot, and that as a goaltender, a lot of times you want to force a perfect shot, and that's what he did, and he got his pad. He played it perfectly. He read it perfectly, yeah. And he, I think he was being a little understated in his read because he did a really nice job with it, and again, all things rosy for the Boston Bruins. They put anyone in net, they win. Everything's cooking good. And
It had to have been his start all along, don't you think? I mean, now that he was healthy and stuff. I kept going, who's going to start? I thought Ullmark, then I thought Swayman. And I'm like, you know what? With Ullmark getting hurt against Carolina and Swayman coming in, I got to think Swayman was going to start anyways tonight.
Yeah, with the injury, for sure. You can't. There's no reason to put Ullmark in that, even because he came out, he's got a week off and the whole thing. That's his start, and he knew it. I'm assuming he knew that was his start, whether Ullmark was going to be able to be dressed or not 2 days ago. If that's what you're saying, yes, I agree with you 100%. And now they have the luxury. They're going on the road. They're going out west, so everyone's going to play now. And that's important to this group too.
Right. It works out well. They have a couple of days off. By the way, Bruins will not practice on Wednesday. Nothing like a middle of the week day off, especially if the kids at school and get a little time at home. And you never know, you know, one thing could lead to another and have a good day.
Oh, yeah.
At least for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Right before you go to Vegas.
Right. And then the Bruins have a home game Saturday against Colorado and then a home game Monday before they go on that Western trip. And again, they're playing Vegas and they're going Colorado and then Vegas and Arizona. And I can't remember the order, but regardless of that, they got a fun, tough schedule coming up, but they get a couple of days that they can get themselves ready. A few other things. Do you think Tampa cares that they've lost three in a row or two in a row this year and now five overall to the Bruins? Like, do you think it means much to them? Whereas, how much do you think it means to the Bruins that these two wins have not been, they got the win. The Bruins got the win. You know what I mean? It's a different vibe. So I still think it's more important to the Bruins that they've won these two than it is the losing to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Because of what Tampa's done the last few years.
Yeah, no, I watched that group, and I don't think they care. Not care, but they are not going to lose confidence. They are not going to be concerned how many games they lose this year. And if they're the eighth seed in the playoffs, they're going to be completely fine with that because they think that they still have the best forward, the best defenseman, and the best goalie in the world. The group thinks that way, and the best coach. So they think they have the bases covered. You've talked about not having Cirelli in the lineup for them is something that they also are sloughing off. And you know, all right, we'll just deal with it when we get through all this. But I did feel like, I don't know how you felt, but I felt if the Bruins had lost this, it wouldn't have been a measuring stick game. I feel like these two teams are almost at the point where they're both not measuring each other until the playoffs. It doesn't feel the same as like a Leafs or a Panthers or when New Jersey comes to town. It feels like both of these teams are like, we got this and we'll see what happens come April.
Well, that's what experience does for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, Tampa, you know, has earned the ultimate respect given their two cups and then a run to the cup last year where they were decimated in the final beset by major injuries, none bigger than the injury to Braden Point, who is just an absolute genius on the ice. His edge work is spectacular. His fearlessness, instinct. I just love watching him play. I do. He played 1921. He had five shots, three of them on net. But anyways, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was Stamkos, and you brought it up. We were texting before, and you know, Stamkos comes in at 998. He gets the goal, power play, which Swayman, I mean, nothing he could do there.
What a pass from Kucherov. Oh,
Kucherov with the great pass. Yeah. A phenomenal passer he is on that flank. He's going to get his 1,000th probably on in the next game. They have the day off, and then I think they play in Philly. He'll probably get it there. But he had to have wanted to gotten against the Bruins, given how Bergeron got his, and then the whole team had to pile on the ice and dancing around for a minute or so. And I'm sure he's heard that the Bruins had a good time after Patrice's, you know, 1,000th down in Florida and all that stuff. But don't you agree? I mean, don't you think that he really wanted to get it, wanted to get it at the Boston Garden?
Yeah, Brian Elliott, the backup goaltender for Tampa, really wanted to jump over the boards and go celebrate. Like, that's like, I think, you know, Stammer really wanted to get it, but I think the guys really probably wanted to get it even more just so they could pile over the boards and make a big
the favor
deal
back.
About it and really take their time to celebrate it. And knowing Bruins fans as they do, knowing someone was going to throw beer over the glass or they're going to really get booed rather than the little bit of respect that Patrice got down in Tampa, they were going to get none of that here in Boston. So
I tell you what, though, I agree with you. It's fun. I'll tell you what. I bet you more Bruins fans would respect it. You know why? Back in 2011, remember when Stamkos was just a kid and he took the puck in the face?
Oh, yeah.
And he comes back and he plays with the full cage on when his face was, like, mangled on that slap shot. The Bruins fans are beautiful, phenomenal. They're having so much fun right now. But I'll bet you they'd give him a little love. But I just think they wanted to do it. Pay the favor back.
Yeah, no question. It would have been perfect irony of hockey gods for him to be able to do that. There's no question. And they wanted it, but the Bruins were better again. Because the Bruins didn't want that to happen. You know, that was a bit of a chatter too, right? Like, not a big top, but it was there. They did, you know, Swayman certainly didn't want, if I'm a goaltender, I don't want that to happen on my watch. I'm very aware.
Everybody's going
to
look at that highlight. Everybody's going to look at it.
Yeah. I'm very aware of that as a goaltender. So,
well, fun stuff. Bruins with a 3-1 win, Krejci with a typical Krejci pass. I think everybody thought he would try and send the puck all the way down the ice for the empty net. He gets it over to the left side where Marchand then gets it, skates it in, puts it into the empty net. That Marchand hasn't been scoring a lot at 5-on-5. You asked him about that in pregame interview. We've read it. We've talked about it. I mean, it's been written about, so people have read about it. He gets what you would call an even strength goal. I know it was 6-on-5, but you know what I mean. He gets an empty netter, but it's
5-on-5.
But it's a 5-on-5 goal. So that'll look good for the stats. But the scary thing is when he gets playing better, watch out, baby. Oh, man, watch out. All right, Bruins win 3-1. That's going to wrap up this morning, Brew, with Jaffe and Razor. Thank you, as always, to Berkshire Bank for their continued support of our show. Without them, well, it would just be Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, not presented by anybody. But also we'd like to thank Sparks, Apex, and again, welcome in Rodenheiser Home Services. And go check out all those companies because they are wonderful people. Don't forget, people. Also, FazendaCoffee.com/Morning Brew. Go find the Morning Brew blend. And if you want a Morning Brew sweatshirt, holy smokes, Razor, they are
flying
out now.
They're flying off the shelves.
They are out. I should take a picture up for you of what I got on my living room table. There's a bunch of coming here.
Distribution center.
It's one of them. Your dream has become reality.
Oh, it's my favorite. That's
part of it. But go to themorningbrew.com. That's T-H-E Morning Brew, B-R-U, themorningbrew.com. And you can order sweatshirts via email or calling the number there. And they look sharp. We've got the light, we've got the gray, and we've got the black. And they're fun, and we appreciate your support. Everybody, have a wonderful day. You know what? The Bruins are taking the day off on Wednesday. Why the hell don't you guys all take the day off, too? The best fans in the world, thank you for supporting the show. And go out and enjoy an extra cup or three of your coffee.